Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namai Vakivalam, Kalo Nastiva, Nastiva, Nastiva Gatiranyata. Welcome, everybody, to our program, Chaitanya Charitamrita, The Life and Teachings of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are studying Lord Chaitanya in five features. So for our first pop quiz question, Tanya, please tell us the five members of the Panchatattva. Who's first? A louder, please. Lord Chaitanya. Number two. Well, just think of the mantra. So who's number two? Nityananda. Oh, you skipped somebody. Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas. Okay, so those are the five members of the Panchatattva. Batuk, tell me who each of the members of the Panchatattva are in Krishna Loka, or in Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Krishna Nityananda is Balaram. Next. Mahavishnu. Very good. Better to say expansion of Radharani. That's more exact. Continue. Yeah, which devotee? Yes, Narada. We heard last night, I mentioned, that Narada is the Shaktivesh avatar of the Bhakti Shakti. He is empowered by Krishna to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Very good. Now, who is Lord Chaitanya speaking to in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita that I'm preaching from? And who is the leader of these Mayavadis? Prakashananda Saraswati. Very good. And Krishna Kumar, what city is this happening? Very good. Who can tell me the other names of Varanasi? Kashi, Benares. Very good. Excellent. I am very happy with my students. They have learned. What was the subject matter of last week's class? One word answer. Wait, wait. He's so anxious. All right. Om. All right. Who can tell me where we left off? Okay, hold on, everybody. I got a message here from my secretary. All right. Okay. So, yes, 129. So if you're ready to proceed, please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Praya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All right. Text number 129. This is Lord Chaitanya. He is now speaking. He's continuing now. It is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to present Pranava, Omkar, as the reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. The words Tattvam Asi are only a partial explanation of the Vedic knowledge. Batuk, who emphasizes this slogan, Tattvam Asi? Who emphasizes this? Who? No, you're right. So who would be the propounder of that slogan? Huh? Shankaracharya, the leader of the Maya. The Maya bodies are not going to do anything unless Shankaracharya, just like me, I'm not going to say anything unless Prabhupada is already established. Or any of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Who will the four Vaishnava Acharyas, who will they strictly represent? No, he's one of them. Of all the four Vaishnava Acharyas, they must represent who? We studied this. If you're going to be a Vaishnava Acharya, you, no matter which Sampradaya, whose philosophy are you going to represent? Vyas. Otherwise, you can't sit on Vyas Asan. Right? Yeah, but they don't represent Vyas. Wait. That means they shouldn't sit. Because we already heard Shankaracharya said Vyasadeva was mistaken. Do you ever hear me say Prabhupada was mistaken? If you hear me, Krishna Kumar, if you ever hear me in a class say that Prabhupada was mistaken, what will you do? I'm very serious. You will kick me in the pants. Right? I cannot overstep or in any way misrepresent Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, I'm disciple in name only. So we already learned that Shankaracharya, in propounding his Mayavad philosophy, the opening premise was Vyasadeva was mistaken. And it centered around this whole conception of how the energy of God is transformed. Shankaracharya's, we studied this, but it's good to go over. Shankaracharya said, Vyasadeva was mistaken to see. So he's not representing Vyas. If you, the person you're representing, you're saying he's mistaken, then that means you know better. It means, right? Disciple means you follow in the discipline. Just like if I'm going to be in Krishna's Sampradaya, I cannot say, oh, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, usually he's right. But here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, you're wrong. Then I'm not representative of Krishna. And the definition of guru is one who represents Krishna. It's very clear. So, Shankaracharya, they don't represent Vyas. He started his own Sampradaya. His own thing. Alright. So all the four Vaishnavas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, although they have their differences, they all represent Vyasadeva. They're all coming from Vyasadeva. Alright. Very good. Thank you for getting my juices flowing. I like this. Do you like these spot quizzes? Yes, I like it too. Purport. Tattvamasi means you are the same spiritual identity. Text number 130. And my secretary tells me we have 10 persons online. So let's all welcome them. Hari Bol. Lord Chaitanya. Hey, is that an echo? Very good. How does it look? All right, very good. Thank you. Pranava, so this is Lord Chaitanya. Pranava Omkar is the Mahavakya, Mahamantra in the Vedas. Shankaracharya's followers cover this to stress without authority the mantra Tat Tvam Asi. Let's review Om from last week. Let's see if I've taught you properly. Raise your hand. Who can tell me the three letters comprising Om? Yes. Excellent. Welcome to our class. All right. The letter A represents who, Krishna Kumar? Krishna. U represents look on the altar. If A, Radharani, and M represents who's left? Jivas, Jiva Tattva. So there's Om, Krishna, Radha, and all the living entities, Jiva. Aum. All right. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Mayavadi philosophers stressed the statements tat, tvam, asi, soham, etc. But they do not stress the real Maha Mantra, Pranava Omkar. Therefore, because they misrepresent Vedic knowledge, they are the greatest offenders to the lotus feet of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says clearly, Mayavadi Krishne Aparadhi. Mayavadi philosophers are the greatest offenders to Lord Krishna. This phrase, quoted that Lord Chaitanya said, is in direct reference to Prakashananda Saraswati. Before this event, where the Maharashtrian Brahmin invited all the sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati met that Brahmin. And Prakashananda Saraswati told that Brahmin, don't go to that Chaitanya. If you go to that Chaitanya, you will fall down. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sentimentalist. He is a pretender. He's a magician. Now, that Brahmin had already come under the influence of Lord Chaitanya. So after hearing this from Prakashananda, he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, why, Prakashananda? He said he knew who you were. And three times he said the name Chaitanya. Why he could not say the name Krishna? Because Lord Chaitanya's name was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The Brahmin said three times he uttered your name in contempt, Chaitanya. Why he couldn't say Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya said, because Mayavadis are offenders to Krishna's lotus feet, they cannot say his name. That's where this phrase comes. Mayavadi Krishne Aparadhi. I just want to give you some context. Okay, let's continue. Lord Krishna declares, Tan ahang dvishatak kurang sangsareshu naradaman kshapyamya jasram ashuban asurish veva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Now, that is from the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Kumar. What is the subject matter of chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita? Take a hint. Yes, Batukji, divine and demoniac natures, because Krishna Kumar told me this morning as I was leaving his Kundan Lok to come to Radharaman Lok. He said, I want to learn all the chapters of Bhagavad Gita so that when I ask this kind of question, he'll know. Yes, we should know the names of the chapters of Bhagavad Gita. What is the subject matter of those chapters? That's good. Very good, Batuk. Okay. Life in demoniac species awaits the Mayavadi philosophers after death, because they are envious of Krishna. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 34, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Who can tell me where else in Bhagavad Gita that line, same line appears? Excellent! I see we have a Bhagavad Gita scholar. Please come to the head of the class. Very good. Jai, chapter 18. Okay. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. One demoniac scholar says that it is not Krishna to whom one must surrender. This scholar is already suffering in this life, and he will have to suffer again in the next life if in this life he does not complete his prescribed suffering. Prabhupada, in the early days of this movement in America, the only copy of Bhagavad Gita he could get was a Mayavadi copy. So that's where he got that. Somebody had commented that it's not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn within Krishna. And Prabhupada would just go off on that. That just made Prabhupada's blood boil. And you see that many times he makes reference to this. Yes. That's because you're a devotee. Yes. Anyone who is a devotee immediately cannot sit right with Mayavad philosophy. It's like sand and sweet rice. Right? Sweet rice is very nice, but it's just, you can't eat it. Right? So anyone is just like me, although I was not raised in Hindu philosophy, still, even before coming to Prabhupada, before finding the devotees, I would from time to time come in contact with some Baba, and I would always think, oh, this philosophy is nonsense. But as soon as I came in touch with Prabhupada's books, I said, this is the real thing. Immediately, after the first paragraph, I said, or you would say, acha. Right? Immediately, after the first pamphlet, I knew, this is my guru. I could tell, I said, now, this tells me I was a devotee in my previous life. Otherwise, I could not have taken this so quickly, so seriously. I'm picking up from where I left off. All right, enough patting myself on my back. Yes, ma'am. If you know how to apply it, yes. Prabhupada writes, this is a very good question. I like your question. Because it means you're thinking. This is the whole idea of this class, to get you to start thinking as a brahmana, spiritually. So, Prabhupada mentions in another important book, Nectar of Instruction, that there is proper utilization of anger. We should get angry, and he even says, we should get angry with Mayavadis and atheists. But now, how do you express that? That's the key. In other words, one thing is an emotion, but you don't necessarily act on that impulsively. You have to intelligently apply your anger. And as followers of Lord Chaitanya, he taught us our favorite topic, nonviolence. So, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, we practice nonviolence. Lord Chaitanya does not want us to get involved in politics. We defeat and use that anger to vigorously preach. And Prabhupada had us go in the streets with our drums and kartals and bang that anger away. Okay? How am I applying my anger? I apply my anger when I get my opportunity to preach. Like today, I'm getting all my anger out, but using it intelligently, not just some nonsensical violence. Intelligently, right? So using your intelligence, Prabhupada makes a point. Now, in the case of Arjuna, That's a different story. When it came time for the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna did not want Arjuna to be nonviolent. We had this discussion last week. And as we know from the Mahabharata, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, the battle began. Arjuna was killing like anything, because that's what Krishna wanted him to do. Krishna does not want me and you to imitate Arjuna. That's not our thing. You have a question or a comment? Prabhupada used to say, if they knew what I was doing, they would kill me. In other words, you don't think that it was easy, Prabhupada coming here and doing his Hare Krishna movement in America. He had to be very, very, and he was getting this intelligence from Krishna, how to promulgate this Krishna consciousness movement under the radar, so to speak. There are many stories of the devotees of ISKCON, how they began their preaching in Russia during communist rule, before the, right? Devotees were using all kinds of CIA tactics, so to speak. They were smuggling Prabhupada's books into Russia. They found one person in Russia who would agree to transcribe the books into Russian. It was same way in China. We have devotees in China, but they had to do it very, 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 very secretly. Because if you get caught, some devotees during communist Russia were put into insane asylums. They tortured them. They took away their beads. You know what they did? They took away their beads. The devotees made beads out of bread and water, or bread and wine, or something. They made beads. Some of these devotees, there's the accounts, they were physically tortured. So they had to be very, very careful. So yes, how did Prabhupada? Prabhupada concentrated on his books. Prabhupada told us, do not get involved in politics. You just distribute these books. He said, these books are like bombs. And they're just waiting to explode. So that's how Prabhupada dealt with transcendental anger. He pushed us. Go out and distribute books. I've been arrested several times for distributing Prabhupada's books back in the 70s. There's so many stories. So, yes, a brahmana should use, Prabhupada said, there's four kinds of people. Active foolish, lazy foolish, active intelligent, lazy intelligent. Each one is better. Worst, active foolish, monkey. Very active, but whatever he does, nonsense. Better to be lazy foolish, meaning you only hurt yourself. You're foolish, but you keep your foolishness to yourself. Then active intelligent. Active intelligent would mean you have good knowledge and you actively engage that. I consider myself on that platform. Then lazy intelligent, like Prabhupada, my favorite story. The first time I was with Prabhupada in Vrindavan, 1975. Prabhupada, we had these things called morning walks. Select disciples would accompany Prabhupada because he liked, the doctor told him, you should get out and walk every day after Prabhupada's first heart attack in New York City. The doctor told him, you know, you lead too much sedentary lifestyle. You have to get out and walk. So Prabhupada took that as Krishna's instruction. So every morning, like 6 o'clock, Prabhupada would go for a walk. So some devotees would accompany him, and there'd be some discussion. So the first time I was allowed to go was in Vrindavan. And on this particular occasion, Prabhupada was furious with the Vrindavan ISKCON temple. They had opened it in April, and he came back in August. And he had left a list of things that he wanted the devotees to do. So he went on an inspection tour, and he was saying, why wasn't this done? And there were two presidents, Grihastha and Sannyasi. So the Sannyasi said, Prabhupada, I'll take care of it. Prabhupada went on his walk. And why wasn't that done? And the Sannyasi said, Prabhupada, I'll take care of it. So they went through the whole temple, they got outside, and each time, because Prabhupada was very sharp, you could not get anything past. He would see every little thing that was wrong with the deities. If the deities were not dressed properly, he would immediately criticize. So he had left so many instructions because the temple had been built, but there were so many loose ends. So by the time they got outside the front of the temple, every time this sannyasi would say, Prabhupada, I'll take care of it. Finally, Prabhupada said, you'll do everything. That is the qualification of the ass. He said the real qualification is to get the asses to do the work. Meaning, he was the president, was sannyasi. He shouldn't be doing everything. He should be inspiring and instructing. There's so many devotees in the temple. Hey, do something. You doing everything is not the sign of intelligence or leadership. Right? That was my first morning walk at Prasad. And usually on morning works, nobody would look at Prabhupada. You would look, your eyes would be down. Because you were actually afraid. Because if Prabhupada looked at you, he would look right through you. And you would know, uh-oh, he's seeing everything. So you would keep your eyes down. Like that. But that was my first walk. Prabhupada is telling that the real qualification, and not that you just order, the real leader is somebody who inspires. That's a real leader. He knows how to inspire. I've met some devotees like that. I've worked under some devotees like that. You naturally want to serve them and work for them. You see their good character. You see how they themselves are very serious, and you naturally want to cooperate them. Another kind is like the dictator. Nobody has any respect for, but he's very expert. Nobody wants to work for that person, but out of fear, he is sort of, yeah, whatever he wants. But the real leader is like Ram. If Lord Ram was here, right? We would all eagerly do whatever Lord Ram say, right? Because we would see his ideal character. Am I right, Ram Bhakta? Because that's how Ram was. His character was so ideal, those who were good, they naturally would want to. That's why he's the ideal king. Not like Ravan. Ravan is like demoniac dictator. Everybody did things out of fear. Even when he captured Sita, right? The whole thing was fear. Either you submit to me or I'm going to kill you. Is that love? That's rape. Either you submit to me or that's a demon. Right? That's a demon. Whereas when Ram was going to the forest, Ram told Sita, no, this is not for you. But Sita definitely wanted to follow Ram to the forest. Right? She didn't have, supposing if Ram was Ravan, Sita would go, yeah, go to the forest, good. I'm getting rid of the guy. But Ram is such character, Sita voluntarily, she's a princess, she's not used to the lifestyle of the forest. That's a huge come down. Huge come down in lifestyle. But Ram is such that, and I would say for Prabhupada too, many of Prabhupada's disciples Prabhupada would ask them to do very, very amazing things. Like he told one, some of you might know who Brahmananda is. Prabhupada told Brahmananda, you go to Africa. I don't think if Prabhupada had told me to go to Africa, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. But Brahmananda, whatever Prabhupada said, he went to Africa. He told Tamal Krishna Goswami, you go to China. So, yes, Prabhupada would never ask me to go to Africa. No. Yes, but still, not so easy. Not so easy. You go to Africa and start a temple. Okay? And it wasn't necessarily South Africa. He's talking about Black Africa. All right? The real Africa. And he did it. He did it. Navayogendra also went to Africa. All right, we got off track. All right, can we get back to class? All right, say Hari Bol to the 14 devotees online. All right. All right. So one should be very careful not to be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the next verse, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly states the purport of the Vedas. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Text number 131. In all the Vedic sutras and literatures, it is Lord Krishna who is to be understood. But the followers of Shankaracharya have covered the real meaning of the Vedas with indirect explanations. Now, let's see who knows Bhagavad Gita. I'll repeat this. Lord Chaitanya just said, in all the Vedic sutras and literatures, it is Lord Krishna who is to be understood. Where is that same thing stated in Bhagavad Gita? Do we have any Gujaratis here? All right, you should... What's that? What verse number for extra credit? Yes, chapter 15, verse 15. Very good. Vadaischa sarvair aham eva vedya vedantakrid vedavid Eva Chaham. Prabhupada quoted that verse so many times in lectures and in his purports. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva veda. By all the Vedas, Krishna says, I am to be known. And I always like to say, that is your graduate diploma. How do you know that you have actually learned the Vedas? You have come to the conclusion that Krishna is God. He also says in chapter 15, which we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight's Bhagavad Gita lecture is chapter 15. Krishna also says that one who knows me as the Supreme Lord without doubting is the knower of everything. That's in the 19th verse. That was the first verse I ever memorized in the whole Bhagavad Gita. I was 23 years old. In New York City, going on the subways with dhoti and kurta and tilak, selling books on the subways. And in between, I'd take out, because the devotees taught me, you get index cards and you write verses and you memorize. I had one godbrother, his name was Pushkar. And he had been a devotee for several years. And during japa time, after each round, he would chant some Bhagavad Gita verse. So I was like impressed. Wow. And he taught me, the way you do it, you chant it 50 times. That's what he told me. So after each subway ride, I'd have my cards. And I would memorize verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Just like that. You just chant them over and over and over. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. All right, let's continue. Purport. It is stated, Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adab Ante Chamadye Chahari Sarvatra Giyate. In the Vedic literature, including the Ramayan, so which Veda is the Ramayan? Fifth Veda. Ramayan is considered fifth Veda. Puranas and Mahabharata, from the very beginning, Adao, to the end, antecha, as well as within the middle, madhyacha, only Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. Everyone say Hari. All right, text 132. The self-evident Vedic literatures, what material example would you give to explain this concept, self-evident? What thing in the material world is self-evident? Sun, yes. So many examples in the Vedas, right? Do you need a lamp to see the sun? You don't need a flashlight to see the sun is self-evident. As soon as the sun rises, it's clear, right? So, Lord Chaitanya is saying these Vedic literatures are self-evident. They don't need an interpretation. They're clear. But if these literatures are interpreted, their self-evident nature is lost. This is the same argument Lord Chaitanya will later use, but actually historically was before, when he was converting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest Mayavadi philosopher of all India at that time. Prakashananda is number two. Okay? So, in terms of chronology, before this incident with Prakashananda, he had already defeated Sarvabhauma because Prakashananda heard about it. I just told you before the story of the Brahmin, how Prakashananda told the Brahmin, don't go see Chaitanya. During that conversation, Prakashananda said, yes, I know about this Chaitanya, and he has made Sarvabhauma a madman. So Prakashananda is thinking, oh, Sarvabhauma fell into Maya, but not me. So when Lord Chaitanya was converting Sarvabhauma, Sarvabhauma was explaining to Chaitanya same Mayavad understanding of Vedanta Sutra. And that after 7 days, Sarvabhauma said, I've been teaching you for 7 days. You don't say anything. Usually a student asks a question, but you don't ask a question. You don't shake your head like you guys, right? I remember the first time I said, oh, I asked the devotee, that means they don't know? No, no, no. She said, in India, this is yes and this is no. And I said, that's the opposite of America. I said, yeah, get used to it. That was one of the first things I learned when I went to India, as well as taking siesta after lunch. The devotee said, I was like really shocked. After lunch, they said, now everybody takes rest. Take rest? And they said, yes. In Vrindavan, in the summer, like June, right? After lunch, nobody's on the street. And then they get up like 3 or 4 o'clock. Even Prabhupada did like that. Prabhupada took a nap. Too hot. Especially April, May, June, July, August. You think this is hot? You ain't seen nothing yet. Vrindavan gets very hot and very cold. Yes, extreme in Vrindavan. All right. So the sun is self-evident. The Vedic literatures are self-evident. Okay. Are the highest evidence of all, but if these literatures... So, Sarvabhauma was asking Lord Chaitanya, I have been instructing you for 7 days. You don't question, and I don't even know if you're understanding. Lord Chaitanya said, oh no, I understand very well, but your explanations don't make any sense. And Lord Chaitanya said, I understand Vedanta Sutra clearly, like the sun. But what you're saying is like cloud. You're simply covering. And Sarvabhauma said, oh, so you think you know? I want to hear. Ah, he opened the door. And then Lord Chaitanya started. And Sarvabhauma tried to argue, and Lord Chaitanya would defeat him one after another. And Sarvabhauma was completely, because he's the topmost Mayavad philosopher, and everything Lord Chaitanya defeated him. So the next day, that night, Sarvabhauma realized, this is Krishna. And so he became a staunch follower of Lord Chaitanya. He also became a madman. Okay, purport. We quote Vedic evidence to support our statements, but if we interpret it according to our own judgment, the authority of the Vedic literature is rendered imperfect or useless. Just like if you go to a good doctor, right? If you go to a good doctor, he'll tell you, okay, here's your prescription, and now you have to follow this kind of diet, do this, do this, do this. But if you say, eh, then why'd you waste your time going to a doctor, right? You're the patient, not the doctor. Just like I always say, my father, after his first heart, my father's had 2 or 3 heart attacks. The first heart attack, he went to a Sadarji doctor, okay? Because he told me, I went to a Hindu doctor. I said, what did he tell you? No more meat. Ah! It was the first thing the doctor told him. No more meat. Did he listen? No. Couldn't listen. Tongue. Then he had a second heart attack. And most doctors will do that. They know. Too much meat? Arteries and veins? You gotta get Roto-Rooter in the... Alright. In other words, by interpreting the Vedic version, one minimizes the value of Vedic evidence. When one quotes from Vedic literature, it is understood that the quotation's authoritative. How can one bring the authority under his control? That is a case of principis obsta. That's Latin term. Just like in the law court. The judge is there. If the lawyer tries to twist the law, the judge says, hey. And the other lawyer will say, I object. Right? Because both lawyers are supposed to know the law books. Right? And the judge is the mediator. The judge is not supposed to have an opinion either way. So if one lawyer is saying, the law says this, the other will say, I object. And then the judge will say, sustain or overrule. It's all based on the law. You can't make the law book say what you want it to say. That's the key. Text number 133. I must say, it is so enjoyable to be able to speak on this with an audience on this level. I love you. I love you. Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we'll do one more verse. To prove their philosophy, the members of the Mayavad school have given up the real, easily understood meaning of the Vedic literature and introduced indirect meanings based on their imaginative powers. Purport. Unfortunately, the Shankarite interpretation has covered almost the entire world. Yes, Prabhupada's mantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashyat, especially in the West. America, especially, when Vivekananda came over and gave his famous talk in Chicago, that was like planting a very deep-rooted seed of Mayavad philosophy. And the Westerners in general, they're very much attracted to this Mayavad philosophy. Because it's so nice. You're God. It's all one. Do whatever you like. Right? Purport. Therefore, there is a great need to present the original, easily understood, natural import of the Vedic literatures. We have therefore begun by presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. And we propose to present all the Vedic literature in terms of the direct meaning of its words. Unfortunately, Prabhupada did not live long enough. Because I remember in 1976, one of my godbrothers, he was close to Prabhupada, and he said to me, oh yes, Prabhupada is thinking after finishing Bhagavatam to translate this Purana, to translate this, and we were like, jai! Because Prabhupada would have done it the same way. Each word, the synonyms, Because that's how major works, that's how Prabhupada did it. So we were very excited that Prabhupada was going to translate. But Krishna had other plans. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All right. Well, thank you very much, Batuk. All right. So let's do a little kirtan. Are you all in for that? I hope to see you tonight when I speak on chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Whatever you are inspired. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. We will not have class next week because I have a program in Cerritos and then I'm going to San Diego. But the following Sunday, when I come back from Guadalajara, then we will have our next. So that's two Sundays from now. The exact, let's see, do I have, okay, whatever the date is, let's see. Today is the 16th, right? Yes. The Sunday after. Okay? All right. So it's on the 30th. We'll resume. All in favor, say Haribo. Thank you very much.